Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Monday, July the 13th, 2020, 7/13/2020, 14 minutes past the hour, and away we go on this Monday morning. And don't forget, today is a great day of programming on WWGH Radio, because I'll start your day here this morning with 2 hours of fun and hopefully enjoyable entertainment. And then when this show goes off today, the mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp will be on from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. And today we also have Voice of a People with Linda Sims from 4 to 5 and the Mike Wilson Show from 5 to 6. And I do believe that Mike has Mary Ellen Withrow as a guest today. I think that's right. Unless that's changed, Mary Ellen will be on with Mike today, and it'll be interesting to see what she has to say. Now, I'll tell you something. Well, you know, let's start off with that. There's a lot of things I want to talk about this morning, but let's start off with this. Has anybody noticed this chain shortage that's going on? Now, I'm sure if you Google it, you can find out why we're having a chain shortage in the United States. But I can't quite understand why this is happening. Now, I think people would think it has something to do with the pandemic, and I'm sure the explanation probably does have something to do with that, maybe. I have not looked it up, to be honest. But the chain shortage is interesting. Now, for those of you who maybe have not been to a grocery store or department store, pretty much now, if you pay with cash, the dollar bills are fine. I haven't heard anything about the dollar bills, so you're okay there if you're paying with paper money. It's the change that has an issue. And apparently, what is happening, and I guess it just depends on the store you go to, but there are some stores where you cannot pay with change at all. Now, the stores are trying to do some things with this, and every store is different, so I don't want to speak about any particular store, but I know some stores are asking you to round up for things to try to make the money even money, and other stores are saying your money can go on a card, just the change, and you can spend that next time. I know that's something some stores are doing. But I'm not really sure why we're having this chain shortage, and I'm not really sure how long it's expected to last. And I'm trying to draw the parallel between this chain shortage and the coronavirus. And I really don't know what that would be. Because as far as I know, paper money is still okay. So if anybody knows or has heard why this is happening, give me a buzz here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But it's a little disconcerting for people. I do notice that. I went to the store last night. It was kind of late in the evening, and I'm not going to say which store, but I think they're all this way now. I went to the store last night, and I just bought like 3 or 4 items, and when I went up to pay, I paid with a credit card, but when I went up to pay, there was an issue with a lady who was in one of the lines, because I heard her talking to the cashier that she was paying with cash, and there was no change. And I don't know, you know, really when you come right down to it, how bad could it be? I mean, if you have to pay with cash, nobody wants to lose any money. And heaven knows I've complained on this program time and time again about the change that I've lost at McDonald's, which is about 7 cents, which is nothing. It's just, I think, the principle. But You know, I guess you could lose up to 99 cents would be as bad as it could be if you got stuck in that particular situation. But I'm not really sure why it's happening. So if anybody knows why it's happening, give me a buzz. And also, as near as I can tell, because I went to McDonald's this morning, and actually I paid with cash at McDonald's, they gave me change, and there's no signs or anything there about change. So I'm also confused on why it's only happening, it looks like, at grocery stores, to be honest with you. Now, some of these stores are grocery stores, they're hybrids, grocery store and department stores, but I don't know what that change shortage is about, and I don't know why it hasn't come to restaurants yet. Now, is it going to come to restaurants, or do people at restaurants just pay with less cash? I don't know. If it comes to restaurants, that's going to be a much bigger problem, I would think. Because I think most people at the grocery store and the department store probably already pay with credit card or a debit card or whatever it is. And a lot of people have the food card. So there's really no issue there. But I would think at a restaurant, that would be much more difficult if you had a change shortage. Because I know a lot of people who go into restaurants and don't even order $5 worth of food, especially fast food, and they pay with cash. They don't pay with a card. So I don't know what the end result of this is going to be. And most of these fast food places, as a matter of fact, I can't think of a fast food place that does have a card, you know, like a Kroger card or a M-Perk card or any of those things, Speedway card. I don't know any of these fast food or restaurants that really have a card like that, that they could load money onto. So I don't know. I'm really confused on why this is happening. I'm sure it's Googleable. I'm sure there's an answer somewhere to it, why this change shortage is going on. But I wonder why just with the change and not with the dollar bills, and why it seems to only be happening at department store grocery stores and not at restaurants yet. So if anybody does know the answer, or Googles it this morning, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, basically what made me think of that was Mary Ellen being on today, and maybe she'll have the answer. I'm sure Mike will ask her from 5 to 6 tonight what the answer to that might be, but It's a weird thing, because to my knowledge, that's never happened. Now, if it has happened, let me know. And I'm also not sure what the correlation between that and the pandemic would be. I mean, I would think that it would have something to do with the pandemic, because it's happening during this time, and it's just another one of those things we've never really had happen before. But I'm not sure what the reasoning would be. I don't know, maybe because was the mint shut down for a period of time, and that's why there's a change shortage? If that were the case, I would think it would pick back up pretty quick. But I don't know. I just don't know the answer to that. So if anybody knows about the change shortage or has run into a problem with it since you've been out in public, give me a buzz here this morning. 740-383-9944, Monday, July the 13th. 2020. Okay, now here's the big story from last night. Okay, last night I had an errand to run where I had to go somewhere. It's about 20 miles from Marion, and it was late. It was late running this errand last night. So I go and I run this errand, and everything's hunky-dory, and I notice I had to get on 23 going north from Marion. No, going south. Excuse me. Going south from Marion to run this errand last night. So I get on 23, and it's about probably like 9:30 at the time last night. So I get on 23, and I'm going south. And I just get past the rest stop on 23 as you're going south toward Columbus. And I see all these trucks out on the road, I think doing road work. I mean, that's what it looked like. It was guys and you know, the vests that reflect off of headlights and all that sort of thing. And there were cones and barrels and things on the road. And because it was dark at 9:30 last night, there were these big... What they had were these pickup trucks. And on the back of these pickup trucks, they had big floodlights that were just flooding the road. Which was kind of weird because they were so bright that if you look directly into them, they could blind you, or certainly blind you for a second. But no big issue there. And this is not the big issue. It's just, you know, they were doing road work at 9:30 last night on a Sunday night, which I thought was odd to begin with. I know sometimes they have to do the road work at night, but, you know, I can't imagine what a road crew would get paid 9:30 on a Sunday night to do whatever they were doing. And I really don't know what they were doing last night out on 23. In any event, so I'm running this errand, and I'm out there, and I had no problem going to the errand. That was fine. No issue. Got it delivered, got everything done, and then was heading back home. So I'm coming back home, and it's definitely, you know, a little... It's definitely later last night, let's say that. It's kind of a late-night excursion. So I'm coming back home, and coming back home, I had to get in the lane on 23 going north to come back to Marion, because south was leaving Marion, and north was going back to Marion. So I get in the lane on 23 going north to come back to Marion, and I'm on it for like a mile. And then I notice that there's something wrong with this road. Now, they've got these... It's not the old-fashioned cones, orange cones that they used to use. It's those big, long orange cones that they use now. And they're down the center of the southbound lane on 23. So, there aren't many cars on 23 last night either at this time. Very few cars. So, it's not like I could go with the flow because there were no cars ahead of me and really no cars behind me. So, I turn onto this road, and 23, and immediately I notice, and I get in the left lane because the cones are really blocking you from the right lane, and I notice that there are no cars and everything's kind of moving slow. So I'm starting to get close to the rest stop on 23. And I notice that the lane that I'm in has cones in front of it. As, you know, don't go any further than this. And I'm thinking, there is no other way at this point to go. There's no way to get off 23 at this point. I mean, I guess I don't even know. To be honest with you, I don't even remember if I could have gotten in the median to get in the northbound lane to go back and try to get on 423 or something. So I'm going down this lane, and I see the cones in front of me, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be trouble because I cannot get any further than where I'm just about to go. And it's not like you can turn right around in the middle of 23. So I decide, well, I notice that in the right lane that there are no cones. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm supposed to be driving in the right lane on 23. Maybe I should have turned into the right lane. So I decide, because there's no traffic there last night, I decide that I'm going to go between two of these cones to get in the right lane of traffic. So I do, and I make it through the cones. I don't knock any of the cones over. I make it through just fine, and I get in the right lane, and now I'm driving on the right side of the road. But now here's the problem, and this is really what this story is all about. The cones were set up in a way that they were not setting in the center of the road. They were, you know, that normally would divide the two lanes. There were no cones in the center. They were to the right of the center. So when you got in the right lane, between where you could drive because of the cones and the berm of the road, it was about as narrow as you were going to get. Matter of fact, I don't know how a semi could have driven on 23 last night in that lane going northbound. And I don't know why they set the cones to the right of the center of the road, because clearly you could not have continued in the left lane. So now I'm driving on the right side of the road, which there's no space at all. And I'm starting to think, well, maybe I shouldn't be driving on the right side of the road. Now remember, this is late last night, no traffic, dark, and there was really nobody out there left working on the road last night, or at least not as many people as there were when I was going to where I was going. So I decide, well, maybe I need to jot back over into the left lane. So again, I go back between the cones, and I get back over in the left lane. Well, that immediately became trouble, because I'm in the left lane, and then I can see, like a mile ahead, one of these trucks with the floodlights that's just sitting in the left lane. So now I'm positive that the left lane is not supposed to be driven in, because if you drove in the left lane, you obviously are going to run right into this truck. So I thought, well, I got to get back in the right lane. So I get back in the right lane for the final time, and again, the cones are set up to the right of the center of the road, which gives you no space at all to drive down that particular area, that particular lane. Because if you just even swing to the right the tiniest little bit, you're going to end up in the berm. So I continue to drive down the right side of the road without going in the berm, thank goodness. And finally, there is a point after the rest stop where the construction ended. And I thought, okay, I'm home safe. And I'm about to get off on the exit, Marion Mount Gilead Road, here in Marion. So I thought, okay, I'm home safe. I'm back to Marion. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. And there's a sign just as you get to that off-ramp to come back to Marion that says 14 feet distance ahead. Now, I'm thinking 14 feet. Now, let's see. 14 feet is a pretty good distance, to be honest with you. I maybe a semi is bigger than 14 feet. I don't know. Wide? I'm not sure. Because I'm sure we're talking about wide here. Because we're talking about lanes of traffic. 14 feet. Now, I don't know if that was both lanes. Maybe if that's why they were saying it. But 14 feet ahead. But it was, you know, late, so there were no other cars, so that really didn't bother me, and I got off on the off-ramp. But the moral of this story is, there were no signs, and nothing really even saying what was going on 23, or what lane to drive in. Because I would have been perfectly happy to abide by what rules they wanted me to abide by last night. But I'm still not sure I did the right thing. I'm sure at some point I was doing the wrong thing because I drove in both lanes, but there were no signs posted. There were no signs posted what they were doing. There were no. I saw one road work sign, and it was after the road work was already over. So I don't know if there's road work after Marion going on as well. But I had never seen it set up like that. I mean, I think we've all driven on 23 and seen the barrels and seen the cones and seen the guys out there working. But I've never seen anything to where the cones were so right of center that you could not drive in the lane. And I kept thinking, how many semis, because there are semis all over 23, how many semis and SUVs and big cars are going to come down this road tonight and not realize what's going on, and they're going to take out some of these cones, or they're going to end up hitting this berm over here, and that could cause some problems for people driving down the road. So to this moment, I really don't know what road construction was going on. It did not look like they were tearing up anything, and I'm not sure why they were doing it late on a Sunday night. Maybe there's just low traffic on a Sunday night. Obviously, not for me. I was out there last night. But, and then I thought, well, maybe they're painting the center of the road. Maybe they're painting the lines, and maybe they're painting the arrows in the center of the road, and that would explain why the cones were set to the side and not directly in the center. But here's the thing about that I don't understand. If you're doing that, why would you put the cones off to the side? Because clearly you're going to create problems for drivers. Why would you not just I don't know. I would just not put the cones out at all. If you can't set the cones in the center of the road, I'm not sure that the cones are helping a whole lot. It seemed very strange, and the one truck I saw was not painting anything in the center of the road, so I'm not even saying that's what they were doing. But that's the only thing I can come up with my brain as to what was going on 23 last night. So I'm asking you, maybe there's some people who work late, maybe there's some people who just happen to be on 23, maybe this was going on all weekend, because aside from last night, I had not been on 23 all weekend. Does anybody know what they're doing out there, or why they would have the cones set up that way? Maybe somebody knows somebody who works in road construction or on the road crew, and why they would be doing it on a Sunday night. Does anybody know? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any idea what was going on last night, or possibly the entire weekend on Route 23. So there's two questions. What's going on with the change? Why are we having a chain shortage right now in certain places? And what was going on 23 last night? But I'll tell you, it's very weird to get on 23 like that and not have enough space in your lane to do anything. And I really did think, I thought, boy, if a semi or maybe somebody who can't see very well, because it was dark, is driving down here, they are really going to take out these cones, or they're going to end up in the berm. And I wonder how often that happened last night. And it was weird because I did not see any signs. I did not see any signs saying stay in this lane. I did not see any signs really that were saying road construction. I didn't see any signs that were saying detour. I didn't see anything. And I was on, you know, the road for about 10 miles. So it was just one of the most odd things. Now, has anybody also, this is an interesting question, has anybody ever had a situation like that with driving? Because this road construction can cause major, major issues when it comes to driving on the road. And I would think that the state of Ohio would want to handle that a little better than it was handled last night, because you don't want people to have accidents, and you want people to be able to have detours, and you want people to do the right thing. You want them to drive in the right lane or the left lane or whatever lane they're supposed to be in. So that was my harrowing experience last night. And I was thinking, for the errand I ran last night, I about ended up in the ditch on 23. Wouldn't that have been interesting? Just laying there in the ditch on 23, sitting in the car, probably listening to this radio station, as I sit in the ditch on 23. I could even turn that into a song, I would think. Maybe that's what I would have done if I'd ended up in the ditch, because it would have taken probably quite a while for somebody to come fish me out. I could write a nice country song. Here I am, sitting in the ditch on 23, wondering what I'm doing. Interesting night last night, to say the least. So that's my Route 23 story. You know, and some people say route. Route 23. I don't know how that word could be route. R-O-O-T. It has to be route. R-O-U-T-E. But that's one of those words. Route. Route. How do you say it? You know, I don't know where the line is drawn, where our English gets funny. I think it's somewhere around Wilmington in southern Ohio. I think that's where the southern accent kicks in. Because, most people up here, I think, would say route. I don't think we would say root. Route 23. Or route. Route 23. I think it's the Wilmington line, and I think below. All those little towns in southern Ohio, or big towns like Marietta. But, you know, Cincinnati does not have, or at least doesn't seem to have, much of a southern accent. I don't know why they're spared from the southern accent. Of course, I don't know why the Cincinnati airport's in Kentucky. I'm not really sure why that has gone on either. So, that's a thing. Oh, I just got a message on Facebook. See, again, we're on root and root here. Root? No. Now, see, now I'm saying it wrong. People say root, like a root of a plant, but really it's route. Root and route. Now, the person on Facebook who just messaged me talks about me saying process. But it is process. You know, we went through this on this show before. It's not process. Because process, it might be how we say it. We're going through a process. But process is actually a root word. It means to go forward. So pro means to go forward. So that's how you get process. Process and progress are both root words, meaning to go forward. So I don't know why we pronounce those process and progress, and they both have O's in them. So it should easily be progress and process. And it should be route, not root. Anybody got an opinion on this? And of course, aunt, not ant. The English language is very funny. That's why I've always thought anybody who came into this country who was trying to learn how to speak the language, holy mackerel, what a difficult time you would have. Because you could, you know, learn how to spell the words, but if you were trying to talk to somebody and you'd say, get on Route 23, well, some people say Route 23. Or what if somebody said to you, well, you go down there and you get on Route 23, you'd be thinking they were talking about something on a plant. If you just came to this country and learned the language, because you think it's supposed to be pronounced route. Very peculiar situation, our language. But fun to talk about. Now, I want to talk about Friday's show. Now, we did a show here Friday night, 8 to 10, myself and Sean Kraft. And I got a letter. Well, first of all, we had a lot of great calls on Friday night. We had a call from friends who drink their Pinot Grigio wine while they're listening to the show on Friday night, and I believe they had shrimp last Friday. The time before they'd called, they'd had M&Ms. We got a call from our good friend Ralph, who's a longtime listener of this station. We got a call from, I believe, Jeff on Friday night, if I remember right. So we had a good string of calls. Now, I also got a message Saturday morning from one of our listeners, talking about how much they enjoyed the show and they thought it was pure comedy. Now, here's the thing about the show, and I'm not saying that we're not pure comedy. We certainly might be. Oh, somebody just tagged me in a post on Facebook showing cars hitting a pothole. That's about what it felt like last night on Route 23, because boy, was it close. They got to do something about that. If it's still like that this morning, boy, there's going to be trouble. Because this video is showing semis hitting the pothole. Oh, it was rough. It was rough last night, let me tell you. But Friday's show, I got a nice letter talking about how funny and that it was pure entertainment. Now, here's the thing about this. I'm not sure that Sean and I were trying to be entertaining. I think we were trying to do a show. The letter was very nice. But I think we were trying to do a show, and somehow it became entertaining. Who knows? But it was a lot of fun doing the show on Friday night, and I'm glad that it entertained people, because one thing we obviously like to do at this station is educate and inform. We want to get you the news. We want to get you information. We want to tell you about things going on. We have doctors on. We have people with a lot of information. But, you know, at some point, you do have to entertain a little bit. And clearly, we're not professional comedians. Clearly, we're not professional performers. So to come on and do a radio show for 2 solid hours that made people laugh, that's very important. So I hope the people who listened on Friday got a kick out of that show. And I was so glad to get that note. Now, I'm not really sure what made the show funny. I don't know. And I'm not sure really how funny it was. Like I say, the letter, I believe, called it pure entertainment. I don't have the note in front of me right now. But pure entertainment is definitely a good way to describe things. I'll take pure entertainment any day of the week. Now, So if anybody did listen to Friday's show and wants to let me know why it was entertaining, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Because I'm not really sure what was entertaining about it, but I would love to be able to be entertaining again, so we will try to keep that up. But the letter was nice, and, you know, there's also a guy who listens who drives a pizza truck. I think we heard from him on Facebook, not on the telephone. But he felt it was entertaining as well. And there's also some conjecture coming out of that Friday show, to be honest with you. Because it is kind of a freewheeling show, and we do say things, nothing bad, nothing that would be inappropriate. But, you know, sometimes we call names. And I think sometimes people get a little upset about that, even though it's not... Nobody ever called anybody a name on a radio show who knew each other, as well as Sean and I do, to make fun of them. No, I mean, you just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't get somebody on the radio to make fun of them if you knew them well. You do it because you think maybe it's funny, maybe it's interesting, maybe it's entertaining, or maybe it has something to do with what you're talking about. And a lot of those things that Sean and I do really just have to do with what we're talking about. So, does anybody have a thought on that who listened to the Friday show? Do you think that aspect of it is okay? Because, see, here's why I think it's entertaining. This is what I've learned. This is just my opinion, being in it. I think the reason it's entertaining is because there is no, fear of saying anything. You know, you just let it all out. It's like having a normal conversation with somebody. It's not an interview. We're not trying to diagnose the news. We're not trying to solve the world's problems. We're just trying to do a show that hopefully is entertaining on a Friday night, because people need entertainment in their lives. There's a lot of depression going on in the world. I'll tell you that. A lot of depression. So if you have any thoughts on Friday night's show, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I was glad to hear of the number of people who were listening to it. I always wondered if Friday would be a good time slot, but it's turned out okay. And I guess it normally, it would. I mean, Friday Night Football always did well on radio, so why wouldn't an entertainment show do well on Friday Night Radio? You know, here was some sad news. Just yesterday, I think, that Elvis Presley's grandson, Lisa Marie Presley's son, committed suicide yesterday, young, and did it with a gun. I mean, they've reported this, and it's just awful, self-inflicted gunshot wound. And we've done so many shows on this station on suicide, and how it's on the rise in every state except Nevada. And for some reason in Nevada, it's just even, as it's always been. And, you know, you think about somebody like Lisa Marie Presley's son or Elvis Presley's grandson, which obviously this person is both, and you think, you know, what could be their worries in life? What would drive somebody to that? Now, I think the common wisdom is they may have had a clinical depression. They may have had clinical anxiety. It very well could have been that. And it might have been exacerbated by something. You don't know. A lot of times there are issues with medication. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here. I don't know what happened here. I just know what the end result was, is that somebody committed suicide. But, you know, this is what a lot... Here's why we talk about a lot of the stuff we talk about on this show. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about complimenting other people. We spend a lot of time about doing things out of the blue. We spend a lot of time about being spontaneous. We spend a lot of time about writing somebody a note out of the blue, telling them what you mean or they mean to you. We talk about sending people pictures that are funny privately. Now, this is why we do it, because some people, and I believe this happens in a lot of suicide, think that people don't care about them. Now, this is a perfect example. Elvis Presley's grandson, Lisa Marie Presley's son, and he was also a performer, he was a singer. You would think that he felt absolutely loved by everybody. But yet, clearly, he did not. Did not feel loved by everybody. And we don't know the exact reason that this suicide happened, but I'm sure there are a lot of people, his mother, maybe grandmother, Priscilla Presley, friends, people who were in his band, who are probably thinking this morning, because this is, always happens after a suicide, you think, I should have called them, I should have went out with them more, I should have been around them more, I should have paid attention, I should have paid closer attention to them. That's what always happens after a suicide. There's a lot of regret in that. And we shouldn't have that regret because you can only live your own life. But I do think maybe we should just have some regret in general in how we treat other people. Because, you know, it's a very funny thing that we will go out of our way to gossip. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with gossip, because sometimes gossip is harmless. But we'll go out of our way to gossip about people. We'll go out of our way to say something nasty about somebody. But we never go out of our way to be nice to somebody. We never go out of our way to write somebody a note saying nice things. How many times have we sat down to write a big long letter telling somebody how angry we are about something? Even in the workplace, how many times have we sat down and written a letter saying how dissatisfied we are with what's going on at our job? Now, conversely, how many times have we actually sat down and written a nice letter saying, hey, you know, you're doing a fantastic job. I'm so glad that you're here. You make the office a better place. How often do we do that with our friends? How often do we do that with our family members? And again, you know, we do live in a picture-taking world. When we started putting our cameras on every phone, we just became a picture-taking world. And some laughter is the best medicine. I believe it was Dr. Norman Cousins who said this. And, you know, sometimes taking a picture, no matter what the picture is, and sending it to somebody can really cheer them up. And sometimes them taking the picture, trying to come up with something goofy to do, cheers them up a little bit. We all have to have some kind of purpose. Because I believe when we get in our bleakest moments, if we don't have any purpose, this is what happens. And I'm not saying this could have been stopped. I don't know that it could have been. I think a lot of people who commit suicide are absolutely determined to do it, and you're not going to stop them. But it's tough. It really is tough. And it makes me sad in a way that the suicide rates are up, because we have so many more ways to communicate with people today. We do have the ability to take pictures today. We do have the ability in seconds to communicate with anybody through messengers and text messages. Everybody's got a phone with them all the time. Used to be you actually had to be in the house, connected to the wall, talking to somebody on the phone. That's not the case anymore. You know, we can take pictures, we can write notes, we can answer phones, we can call people almost instantaneously. And we don't do it. It's a weird thing that this whole society, all this technology, seems to be pushing us further apart than bringing us closer together, which I think it could bring us closer together. All of a sudden now, we talk less because we're all text messaging. We visit each other less because we can get a hold of somebody in the blink of an eye. Yet in these bleak, bleak, bleak moments, like Elvis Presley's grandson faced yesterday, I don't know that we do reach out. I don't know. I don't think that we really pay attention to it. I think we think that being nice is kind of not cool. We think that doing things like taking pictures or taking the time to write a note is just too much time and too much work. You never know what it'll mean to somebody else. You never know how it can change a life. And I'm not even talking on the level of suicide. I'm talking about you don't know how awful somebody's day is going. You don't know maybe how unhappy somebody might feel. My idea in life is that you can say you think you know how people feel, but maybe they don't. Some people feel bad. Some people suffer with depression and anxiety. Some people hide it very, very well. And you don't, you just don't know that they're not feeling their best. And going through those things can be very difficult. I don't know. Does anybody have any opinion on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's big stuff. And, you know, I even understand that some stuff that people would say in person, they would never say. They feel more comfortable writing it. Write it. Take the time and write it. Because when I saw this story yesterday about Elvis's grandson, the two things it made me think about, number one, was what a tragedy. Just what a tragedy in that family, number one, with Elvis dying so young. And so many people, I think, are still not over that. And that happened in the 1970s. And now you've got his grandson, which a suicide's a tragedy, and that will follow the family. And you have Priscilla, the ex-wife of Elvis Presley. Now, she's still around, and she's done pretty well. She's been in some movies. And you've got his daughter, Lisa Marie, who's recorded some videos and things of that nature. But I just... Yeah, it's another tragedy in the Presley family. And then it makes me think, why do certain families have so many tragedies? Certainly over the years, we talk about the Kennedys. We would think, my goodness, why would the Kennedys have so many tragedies? Now, you can't stop assassinations. It's awful. But, you know, two of the brothers were assassinated. But there were so many other tragedies in that family. I mean, Chappaquiddick with the girl getting killed with Senator Kennedy, Edward Kennedy. And then JFK Jr. getting killed in the plane crash that was lost at sea. And, wow. Why do some families just have all these tragedies? Why does it happen? I mean, I think they probably do feel cursed. I'm not sure if curse... I don't know if that's a real thing, but I'm starting to wonder why certain families just have a lot of trouble. The Jackson family had a lot of trouble. They would be one. And it does become a tragedy. So I don't know. Any thoughts? I'm sure there are some Elvis fans out there. I mean, I doubt that a lot of people knew who his grandson was. I mean, he wasn't super popular. But just the fact that this is Elvis Presley's grandson, and it's interesting that's the way it's being reported. Elvis Presley's grandson, Lisa Marie Presley's son, commits suicide. It's sad. It's sad, but that's the headline grabber, and that's the way we do the news, I guess. Does anybody have any... Because you out there in the listening audience are far more insightful than I do. What do you think all the depression is about lately? Why are we so sad? Why are people having such a hard time being happy and surviving that they think this is the only way out? Is to end their life. And I, you know, it did say he used a gun to do this. And I think, wow, you know, how much distress must you be in to have a gun and do that to yourself? It's just got to be horrific. You've got to be in such horrific pain that it's awful. And I think maybe sometimes making people happy is the best thing we can do. Maybe that's why we are on this planet, is to make other people happy. And maybe we got to start doing a better job of it, to be honest with you. I don't know. These are just my opinions. You know, random thoughts on seeing these things, to be honest with you. 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget, we got a big announcement tomorrow morning. Well, a big interview. I wouldn't call it an announcement. It's a big interview tomorrow morning, 9 to 10 a.m. I can't tell you anything about it at this point for some purposes, but you'll want to hear this. It's very Marion. It's going to have some impact on the future of Marion, and I think it's going to be a fascinating interview. So tune that in tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, from 9 until 10 a.m. Up until this point, I still believe it's going to happen, and I would be shocked if it didn't. So listen tomorrow morning. But just, you know, maybe the lesson from this hour is try to pay attention to people. Try to tell them what they mean to you. Try to make their day a little better the best way you can. It will help you in the long run, and I think it will help them in the long run. And maybe we will stop having tragedies. And even short of the tragedy of what happened here, maybe we will just feel better. Maybe we'll just feel better as a society. Wouldn't it be something if we were all just happy most of the time? I understand you can't obliterate sadness, but wouldn't it be great if we were just happy a lot of the time? That we were smiling and laughing? You know, think of the people who make you happy in your life. And why is that happening? Why do they make you happy? Figure that out sometime. What is it about certain people that makes you happy? I know it's not always good to overanalyze, but that's an analyzation worthwhile. We're going to break. Stay tuned. We're coming back in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving.
Yes, absolutely, and I was in